Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for the first midweek of Lent comes from our Gospel reading. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God." Thus far the text. Satan tempted Jesus in a similar way that he tempted our first parents. He had to. The temptation had to be the same for Jesus as it was for Adam and Eve, as any and all temptations are for us. This temptation from Satan had to tempt a fleshy Jesus in his flesh. And Jesus had to overcome such a temptation in the flesh, in his humanness. Otherwise, what would it matter? God can't be tempted. What could Satan offer God that would make him bow the knee? What could Satan dangle in front of God that would make him question good and evil, right and wrong? If Christ only overcame the devil through his divinity, then it's of no comfort to us. It does us no good. We might as well just throw in the towel and dive headlong into despair, for such an overcoming of temptation accomplishes nothing for us. But Christ is out in that wilderness, in the flesh and blood of Jesus. He hungers like we hunger. He becomes tired and exhausted, just like us. And after 40 days of wandering and fasting, one can only imagine the state that Jesus was in. And so Satan comes and he tempts Jesus. "Make some bread," he says. "You're obviously hungry. You obviously have the ability to stop your empty stomach from grumbling and devouring itself. If you are the Son of God, just make some bread, Jesus." And one has to stop and wonder for a second how this exactly is a temptation. It doesn't seem all that evil to make bread and to eat it. There's no temptation of gluttony. There's no temptation of excess. Just a simple, straightforward, and acceptable appeal. Eat some bread. And since, yes, Jesus is out there in the wilderness and there's no grocery stores to be found, go ahead, miraculously make that bread for yourself, Jesus. But it's this temptation that's the most devious. It's this temptation that sets the stage for the other two that we hear in our text. And it's also this temptation that it's just like the temptation that Adam and Eve had to contend with in the garden. You see, Jesus is no different than they were. He's no different than us. He's the same in every way. He's been tempted like us. Just like us, we are one with him. We're one and the same. And Adam and Eve, they were tempted to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the fruit was nothing, and eating it was nothing either, not unless God has attached his word to it. And here too in our text, the bread made from stones would be nothing either. And making them and eating them would be no different than just eating bread baked in an oven and sold at the market. The temptation, the true temptation for Jesus is the same as the true temptation for Adam and Eve. Just do away with your humanity. For our first parents, their temptation was to gain the knowledge of evil, a knowledge that they never should have had. A knowledge that up to that point only God knew, because they didn't have evil in their bodies. They were not corrupted. They were not yet fallen. But they were tempted to be like God, to know this evil. The only problem was for them that in order to gain this knowledge, they would have to have evil introduced into their lives, corrupting their flesh, bringing about death. Satan always and only just tells half the story. For Jesus, the temptation was the same, if not slightly altered. Do away with your humanity. Why deal with pain and suffering and agony and hunger? You're the God of the universe. Say the word and you will feel nothing that these humans have to feel. Say the word and you won't have to deal with any of it anymore. Your belly will be filled in an instant, Jesus. Better yet, just do away with your belly. Why even have one? You're God. You don't need one. You don't need food. Just be God. Just do away with this pitiful humanness that you are so obviously greater than. Forsake the flesh and everything that comes with it. Forsake the flesh and everything that is flesh. And the second temptation is something much like the first. Satan brings Jesus to the top of the temple, and he tells him to take a giant swan dive off of it. And he even quotes scripture, tells how angels will not let him strike his foot against the stone. Here too is the temptation to forsake the flesh. Why subject yourself to the finite confines of humanity? Why lay aside all of the glories of heaven, all of your ultimate and infinite powers? Why be subject to the laws of physics and gravity and time and space and everything that you've actually created? You're the creator. You don't have to do any of this. And they, those miserable, worthless people that you created, they're not worth it. Just lay it all aside, Jesus. Be the God that you are. None of us would blame you. None of us would even question you. And none would ever say that you're committing a sin. You aren't bound to any of this. Stop binding yourself. This humanity stuff is hard. It's too hard. You don't have to do it. You don't have to suffer. You don't need to be hungry. You don't have to subject yourself to some arbitrary rules that you actually created. Just walk away from all of it. And goodness, Jesus, I know when I quoted scripture, I rewrote your word, just like I did for Adam and Eve. I know that I left something out, that part about you treading on the lion and the adder, that whole part about you treading on me. I left that out, but you can leave it out too. Go ahead, rewrite your word, because you know what you're going to have to do in order to tread on me. And it isn't going to be pleasant. Just rewrite your word. It's yours. You can do whatever you want with it. And the last temptation in our text, that's a big one. And it's the one that's easiest, even for us to figure out. We can see how evil it is. We can even tell Satan how evil it is. You can't worship anybody but God. But this temptation is a real one for Jesus, just like it was for Adam and Eve, just like it is for us. It goes against that first commandment and tempts Jesus to fear, love, and trust in something other than his heavenly Father. It's the temptation of unbelief, just like it was in the garden, just like it is for every single one of us in our individual gardens. But this temptation was something even more for Jesus. And in the end, it ties directly to the first two temptations. When taken as a whole, there's one simple thing that the devil desires from Jesus. One simple thing that he wants more than anything else. And it doesn't matter how he gets Jesus to do it. Deny your humanity, Jesus. Rewrite your word, Jesus. Fall down and worship me, Jesus. Pick any of them. I don't care. And if you don't like any of them, fine. Make up one for yourself, Jesus. It's all the same to me. Just don't go to the cross. And there it is. There is the ultimate temptation for Jesus. Don't go to the cross. Why go to the cross? At the cross, you're going to have to deal with excruciating physical pain and torture at the hands of sinful men that you created. And you could smash them all just with the snap of your finger. Why subject yourself to their fists and to their spit and their nails and spear? And at the cross, you're going to have the sins of the entire world upon you. And none of those sins are yours, but you're going to be counted as guilty of them. That's not fair. You'll have the guilt of every single last sin and the whole entire world upon your perfect head. You'll be covered with all of the filthy, sickening, shameful shame that comes with sin and disease and death. That's not for you, Jesus. You're better than that. And at the cross, you're going to have your Heavenly Father turn His face on you and forsake you. At the cross, you're going to experience the fullness of hell in your flesh and upon your soul. Are you really ready to do that for the likes of these sinful sinners? Are you really willing to be faithful to the bitter end for a bunch of fallen creatures who have never remained faithful to you? Are you really going to make yourself your servant, their servant? You created them. They should be serving you, and you're going to serve them. Serve them by taking on their sin. Serve them by taking their guilt and their shame. Serve them by taking their cross and their punishment and all the wrath that should be theirs. Just walk away, Jesus. Or forget about all that walking business. Just do whatever it is that God does, because that's who you really are. Be done with all this foolishness, all this suffering, all this silly humanness. Do anything you want, Jesus. Just don't go to the cross. But to the cross, Jesus goes. For the cross is the only place that sin is paid for. The cross is the only place where salvation is won. The cross is the only place where humanity can be saved from the pits of hell. The cross is the only place where Satan's head is crushed. And so Jesus looks Satan squarely in the face and says, "I will not forsake my children. I've become one of them, one with them. I will remain so. I will not rewrite my word so that it can serve me, because my word serves them and it gives them life. I will not look for another way. I will not retreat back to the glories of heaven without them. And I will crush your head with these fleshy feet of mine that you so much despise, Satan. There's nothing that will keep me from accomplishing what I have come to do. No amount of temptation, no amount of suffering or pain, no amount of sin or guilt or shame, no amount of hell will keep me from winning mankind the salvation that I have in store for them. Be gone, Satan. I have a cross to go to. In the name of Jesus.